Hey there, thanks for listening. I am Wouter Vertogen and this is the Freelancer Talk, a show where freelancers, artists, creators and entrepreneurs share their stories, struggles and best lessons learned while launching and managing their own businesses. Hello, freelancers. Welcome back to the Freelancer Talk podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about a subject, a topic that, I mean, it's a hard one because I don't really know so much about this myself. And therefore, I asked Raiden Stenzel, he's an expert on the topic, on the matter, let's say, to join me for this podcast episode. And the topic is pensions and retirement. So welcome to the podcast, Raiden. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you so much for having me on.
So I am actually really excited that we are going to talk about this because I have not really, I mean, just to put it out there, I haven't really started with my pension and I'm 25. Just maybe you can share with us what is the right time to start thinking about your pension before we are going to talk about what you are doing and what your firm is about. But maybe we can start with the age.
Yeah, so I think that's a very, very important topic. And just for clarity, when we talk about a pension could be many things in the way it is. You could be most people, especially if you're a freelancer, you're not going to have a company pension. You're going to have to build up your own account and then turn it into what you might think of as a pension, which for most people means you're going to save for years and years and years. And then when you get ready to retire, you want that account that you built up a lot of money in to then give you back an income in your retirement. And you could think of that like a pension. And so that's kind of the idea. So if you think about this idea of what is called compounding, which is where I get a compound effect on my money, the longer I have, the better it is. So there's a really easy math. If your investments can earn 7.2%, they will double every 10 years. So if I have $100 in 10 years, it's going to be worth 200, then 400, then 800, just like that, right? So if I have longer periods of time, all the money that I'm saving has a much better chance of becoming a substantial amount. So we used to do this all the time with somebody. And let's say you started saving just a couple hundred bucks a month, a couple hundred dollars a month, and you started when you were 20. You can have $1 million saved by the time you're retirement age. But most people don't do that. Most people, when they're 20, they're just getting their first job. They might be in college. Then they're 25. Then they get married. Then they have children. Then they have bills. And none of that stuff says, I need to start saving. It's just like, no, I'm in survival mode right now. And it's not about saving. And so most people wake up one day and they're 40 and they go, oh my goodness, I've not saved anything. And they go, how much do I need to save now? And what used to be trying to save $100 a month or $200 a month now needs to be $1,000, $2,000 a month to get caught up. And it's much more difficult because now instead of having, 40 years to retirement, you're down to the 20, 25 years range. And so it's like trying to just go out and do it very quickly. So to answer your question, here's what I say. I think that you should start early, get yourself into the habit of saving. I don't care if it's $20 a month. Have something in your mind, and especially for freelancers, by the way, and I say freelancers, I think about freelancers as self-employed.
Yes, exactly.
And,
yeah.
And that's what I am, and I think as a self-employed person, a lot of times we're in survival mode when we're early in our career and we're trying to just get things going, but always view whatever you've got coming in as I'm going to make sure that I don't spend that much money. And it could be hard in some of those times. But I think still having that discipline that says I need to save a little bit. I need to save a little bit of something on the side. So I would encourage you, even whenever you think you're struggling and you think you just can't hardly make it, still save something. And it just gets you in that habit. And there's a great book called The Compound Effect, and it talks about money, but it talks about effort as well, whether it be reading a book or whatever. And I think that's so important. When you're young, get yourself in the habit. I don't care what it is, just so you know how to need to save something on a monthly or annual basis. And then that'll help you in the future as that grows.
So the sooner the better.
Absolutely.
So there's actually a couple of questions that I'm going to ask on this podcast, because I think, you know, pension and retirement, there is different ways to go about it. So I'm going to ask you about that a bit later. But you do help people with their pensions, because that is what your firm is about. You do help people plan for retirement. But what is it exactly that your firm does? And also, what is the name of your firm, of course?
Well, the name of the firm is Peace of Mind Wealth Management. And the name really implies this idea that we're trying to help folks not have to worry so much about their retirement plan. And that's it encompasses a lot of things. It's not just money. It's what am I going to do in retirement? How am I going to deal with taxes? How am I going to have an income? And obviously that deals with money, but how do I structure it? How do I deal with estate planning? All of those things we help people with. The majority of our clients are individuals that are typically age 55 and older, who have accumulated money and now they want that money to last the rest of their lifetime. So that's our average client. We do have clients though that are younger, and those are typically clients where they're grandchildren or children of our clients. That's the typical, not to say that's everything, but what we do there is obviously helping them to come up with a plan of what they need to save. And so if I were sitting with somebody who were, let's say, 25 years old, and they said, I would ask them, when would you like to retire? And I don't care what they say. It's, you know, usually when you're 25, you think, I want to retire when I'm 50 or 55. And then we start looking at the numbers and the person goes, oh my goodness, I got to make a ton of money between now and 50, 55, if I'm going to be able to do that. But once we start looking at the numbers, at least help them come up with a plan. A plan that says, I understand now I need to start working at this retirement plan very early, because it's not going to just happen one day. And so anyway, what we do is help people think that through, help them to put it in writing and help them lay it out, and then help them to implement the plan.
So you said before already that it's better to start sooner rather than later with saving and your pension and all of that. Is that also, that, of course, that is part of like your retirement plan, but how do you start with a retirement plan? Because if I think now I'm 25 and I can think, yes, like, okay, I might want to retire around, here it's maybe a bit different, maybe about 60, that's still early here, let's say, or 65, because it's 67, I think it's the general thing here in the Netherlands. But if I were to think now about, yes, saving for some pension, okay, I get that. But already planning for a retirement, how do I start with that?
So there's a couple of different things. Now, again, I'm in the U.S., so I don't know everything about the Netherlands. So I'm going to just talk in some general terms.
Yeah.
Many countries have plans that are where you can put money in and you don't have to pay tax on the money, and it can accumulate tax deferred in all essence, and then you pay tax on it in the future. That's in a lot of countries, they have that. In the United States, they have that. We call them IRAs.
Yeah, they have it here as well, I think. Yeah, it's like life rente. It's what you said. Yeah.
Yep. So the idea there is, so there's a couple things. Number one, I always, if I'm talking to somebody who's 25, I say, look, here's what you want to do first. You want to build up just an account of money that is what I call my emergency fund. Now, that depends on your personality, how big that is. I think around 3 to 6 months of whatever you need for living, right? Get that first. Once you have that in place, then start putting it into tax deferred accounts. Now, so what you're going to do is just start building it, start putting it in there. Don't worry. If you're starting from scratch, don't worry so much about what you're investing it in. Just worry about accumulating it. Get an account built up. Like, don't worry about going out necessarily and what stock am I going to buy or how am I going to invest the money? Although you can worry about that. The bigger concern is just start saving, start putting it on the side and get that accumulation there. And then there's a lot of different things that start to happen. Mentally, you start to see an account there that has some money in it and you go, wow, I'm doing good. It makes you feel good about what you're doing. And then you can start to accumulate off after that. Then as the amount grows, now we have things to talk about as to how we invest it, how we do it, and where we put it and all that stuff. Number one, just get an account built.
Number one. And I mean, I can say that I did have that, but I didn't really think about it as a pension, but more of like maybe for a house or a property later, which is then what, something that you are, what you said already in the beginning, that people are, especially if you're a freelancer at a young age, that we're in this survival mode. And then later we're going to start to think about houses and kids. But I think if I also understand what you're saying is that I see this account for me and maybe 40%, 50% is for what I envisioned it, but actually maybe that other 50% should be then already for my pension, or I mean, at least that I have some, you know, already in place, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So you mentioned investing, of course, and there is, of course, that you can put your money, what you said, in like a fund that they hold it for you. And then mostly they actually also put it in investments for you. You also mentioned self-investing. Now, it scares a lot of people. I know that now it's 2021 after GameStop and I don't know, whatever. There is a lot more retail investors happening. How can you not be scared to lose your money? How can you just like keep thinking ahead of like, okay, it's gonna grow, because last year coronavirus, the whole market crashed, and that scared a lot of people, which was actually when I went in, because I was like, this is a great opportunity that doesn't really happen often. But how can you say that to people that they just like can get a peace of mind about it? I think,
yeah, so what we do, again, you know, a lot of the folks that we help have accumulated sizable amounts of money. So what we do is we take them through a risk questionnaire in all essence, but we do it online with them. So we share the screen and we actually take them through the math. So let's say that somebody had an amount of money. I don't care what it is. I'm just going to make a number. Let's just say somebody has $100,000.
Yeah.
And then we start talking about at what point would you say, I can't handle it anymore? So one person might say, hey, I understand how the market works. And if it goes down 20 or 30%, I understand it'll come back. I'm not going to even worry about it. In fact, I'm not going to even look at the account. That's one person. Another person might say, oh man, if it loses $10,000, which is 10%, I am going to lose my mind. I can't handle that. Well, that is a totally different investment strategy for person B than person A, because the B person who's saying, I can't handle that loss, then they're going to need to be invested in something very, very conservative. Now, if they do that, they're also going to make a conservative rate of return. Mm-hmm. So you've got to kind of pick your battle there. Now, the way we do it is we are managing money for people. And so we actually will help navigate those markets by how we trade those markets and how we react to what's going on. So you used coronavirus as an example. The market was crashing. And because of our methodology, we moved our assets, our clients' money, over to safety for a period of time. And it protected them from a significant loss. When the market balanced out, and again, we don't call this stuff perfectly, but when it balanced out and we started to see things returning, we went back in and we rode back up in the markets. So we protect our clients because our clients, again, are close to retirement and they don't want to lose a bunch of money. I think if you're 25, you talk about mentality. What you look at is you look at the market as a whole. There's two different types of things out there. You mentioned GameStop. You buy GameStop and you make a ton or you lose a ton. Right? That is not saving for retirement. That could be, you know, that's like the play in the lottery.
Yeah. Like, you know? Yeah.
It's gambling. What I'm talking about though, is if you look at the broad market, the broad stock market, and you said, look, as a market over the next 20, 25 years, what's the likelihood that it's going to go up? It's very, very high.
Yeah,
very
exactly. High.
There's going to be periods that are down, but over time it's going to go up.
So this is a bit of a question that might be a bit, I mean, it's not really off topic. It's still relevant. I think especially for people who are my age, we all get, I mean, I don't know how to say this saying in English actually, but I'm just going to say what I wanted to say is that we are all looking at crypto right now, a lot of people from my age. And I know, like, it's a very complicated topic, but I'm curious what your point is and what your take is on the crypto market, because it's a whole new thing. It's something a lot of people believe in, but also it's a lot of people who don't believe in it. Maybe, what is your take on it? Just out of curiosity.
So, okay, so my take on it is, obviously, somebody can make a ton of money if it works and it sticks. I'll give you an example. This is, by the way, nothing to do with the way we invest money, but it's just an example.
My son
is 18, and he told me the other day, 1 week ago, he bought a cryptocurrency for $1,200. He showed me his account yesterday, and it was worth $20,000, right? In a week. Now, you know, I asked him, what is his plan with this? And he said, I don't know what my plan is, you know, and he's 18. So he has a whole different mentality than what I would have. I personally would not buy crypto, and I wouldn't for my clients, because it doesn't fit our risk profile in that it's not proven. I know it's been around, and it may end up making people a ton of money. I get all that. But we are not in that business of trying to say, look, let's go out and find this low something that's nothing and grow it. And I know that a lot of wealth can be made that way. It just doesn't fit my risk profile, and it doesn't fit my clients. So it is a gamble. And I look at it this way. You know, I say, if you're going to invest in it, invest only money that you're willing to lose.
Yeah.
Right. So if you say, hey, I'm going to put $1,000 in it, and it grows to 100,000, then fantastic. But if you put 1,000 in it and tomorrow it's gone, you had to know that's your risk. That's your risk. You have to be willing to lose that $1,000. Do not look at it like a true, with what you've been using the term, pension or retirement plan. It's too much risk. You might hit it and it be perfect, but you also might lose it.
So I think that's also kind of like how I would see it in crypto. It's I think also a lot of people who just pump and dump money in it, for example, that it just goes in and they get it out. It's maybe also, I don't know, I also don't know enough of it. I'm in crypto, but I have a general consensus of it, but also it's difficult, I think. And also, if I were to think about retirement, I would not necessarily directly think about crypto. But I did want to talk about risk a little bit, because I feel like the younger you are, it's also better to take higher risks, because you're still young in your career. If you fail, you still have a lot of years to recover. But if you're like 55, it's maybe better to play it more safe. Is this also how you would view it?
As a whole, yes. I think that is possible to say. Again, I think you have to have a multiple strategy, and I don't care what your age is. So I have clients that are 55 and 60, and they might say, hey, you know what I'm going to do? Of my wealth, I'm going to take 5% or 10%, and I'm going to really go high risk. And they can afford to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And they're 55, but they can go, look, I think it's mentality. If you say my mentality is I can lose this money and I'm still going to survive, then you've got to have that. You cannot lose that money and go, oh my goodness, it just wrecked me financially. And there are people who did that with GameStop. There's people who did it with crypto, and they basically put in real money that they need with this idea that maybe I'm going to make it $1 million, and they lost it all. Yeah. And you just can't do that. You have to have concept. So I don't care if you're 25, 55, or 75, the money that you put into something like that, you have to be willing to lose. Meaning, not only willing, but the ability to lose it. Meaning, if you lost that $1,000, are you still going to be able to go buy groceries and feed yourself and do all those things, right? And if you say, no, the $1,000 is what I need, I'm just trying to see if I can double it, well, then that's the wrong money to be putting in something like that.
Yeah, I think I completely understand also what you're saying. And I also see that it's very true. I think it's always, when you talk about investing, it's like put high risk, especially put only money in that you are willing to lose, because there is a big chance that you will actually lose it. Now, I guess one of those issues of investing or putting money into these high risks is like a pitfall in like a retirement plan could be. But what could be other pitfalls inside a retirement plan where people have to look out for when they're planning their retirement?
Well, one of the biggest ones is, first of all, their projections, how much they think it's going to earn if they're trying to be based on a retirement plan. Some people come in and say, oh, I want a retirement plan, and in order for it to work, I need it to earn 10 or 12% annualized every single year. That's unrealistic. I think the other one is people not understanding what withdrawal rates they should pull out. So somebody might say, and I've had these conversations before, and I have to handle it delicately, but they have a rather small account, but they say they need, you know, $10,000 or $15,000 a month to live. Well, if you've got, you know, 100 grand and that's $100,000 and that's all you have, well, then you're going to be out of money pretty short. I mean, the year you're out. And people don't sometimes think through that math. So I think the biggest pitfall is understanding what is it going to generate for you in income. And you're using the term pension. I use the term income. Same thing.
Yeah.
It's an income plan that you're trying to generate, and understand what that is. So I'll give you an example. We tell people their withdrawal rate, what they pull out, the percentage, should be no more. In our world, we like it to be no more than 3 to 4%. So if you've got $1 million, that's generating $30,000 to $40,000 a year out of there. Okay. Yeah. Well, somebody when they're 25 thinks, oh man, if I had $1 million, I am set. Not realizing that $1 million really isn't that much if it's trying to generate income for you. And so you say, well, can I live on that? And by the way, that's if you think about how much it needs to be when you start. So let's say you're 67, right? Go to your number, 67. And I'm going to live to 97. I'm just making the math easy. 30 years. Well, if I start withdrawing 30,000, inflation is going to have me drawing out 60 or 70,000 by the time I'm 90, you know? So the $1 million, it just is very difficult for it to operate that way. So that's the biggest hurdle, is teaching people that and walking them through that math, which we do. We have software that does that pretty clearly.
That's nice. Yeah. I'm wondering because, for example, here in the Netherlands, what you do is that you, as a freelancer, you can pay for a pension fund, or if you are actually on payroll, they will do it. You know, like companies will take care of your pension already. And then when you hit that number, when you hit 65 or hit 67, there is also a government payout each month that is like a social, like security, like the bottom that you'll have, and your pension is actually what you pay yourself out on top of that. Does it also work like that in the United States, that everybody, anyway, when they retire, everybody has like a base income, and then you fill that up with your own pension, let's say, your own income?
Correct. The problem with that plan, though, is, yes, to answer your question, absolutely. But the problem with it is that it's the government doesn't know how they're going to pay for it. It's because it's so taxed. It's such a heavy amount of money. And so for current retirees right now, it's probably not going to be a problem. But, you know, I'm talking about myself. I'm 48. My son is 18. Talking to a 25-year-old, I would say never plan for the Social Security. And the reason why, I think the only way any government is going to be able to deal with it is they're going to have to push the age at when you start to much later. So you just used the term 67. In the United States, it is as well. It's right at 67 right now for you to start. 67. It used to be 65, but they keep pushing it. I think for a 25-year-old, it could be well into the 80s ages before you get it, because they can't afford to pay it early and pay it out for 20 and 30 years. When it was created here in the United States, it was age 65 and life expectancy was 63. So it was not meant to pay people for 30 years. And that's what it's doing right now.
I think that's also the problem that we are actually seeing here in Europe as well. That's why this social security for if you hit that number is very under the loop by our politicians, let's say, because they're keeping it very low, and they might even make it or they're always fighting for it to be higher because it doesn't live up to this actual standards of society here anymore. But they don't have the funds to actually make it higher. It's it's a difficult predicament the government, let's say, is in with all of that. Yep. So, well, On that note, I do have one other difficult predicament. What's happening here that was actually just announced. I just got this email from my bank the other day, is that if you in the Netherlands now hit higher than 100,000 euros through the bank or through the bank investment or in savings, that the interest is minus 0.5, which is something that the European banks have been going at, that actually it's going to cost us money to save if you save above that number, or if you invest through a bank above that number, let's say, if you do it through like another investment platform. I did do a podcast in the first season of the Freelancer Talk a long time ago on stop saving, start investing, just because if you reach a certain number, it's negative. And also inflation rates, it's already negative. Are you still for having a certain saving besides also having investments? Or would you say invest all of your money?
Well, I think it goes back to, especially we're talking to people that are self-employed and freelancers, I think you've got to have a cash position that is really for cash. You know, does it need to go above 100,000? That just depends on your situation. You know, what you're dealing with there. But yes, negative interest rates are something that has been talked about a lot of places. And for sure, 100%, I would say if I had a bank charging me a negative interest rate to put my money in there, I wouldn't put it in there. I'd rather invest it in something that would give me some type of interest versus putting it in a bank to do that. The safety you get is not worth a negative interest rate, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So I would not do it. I would hold what cash I need to operate myself, my business, or whatever I've got, and then the rest I would invest.
So do you see negative interest coming to the USA? Just out of curiosity as well, because here it's something that has been so long in talks, and slowly the banks have made the decision to go there. I have actually a bunch of people who are in the banks who explained me how it works and why actually banks always should charge negative interest. Very complicated whole thing, but how do you see that? Do you see that coming to the US or not?
I think it'll be a little while, but I think it's possible. I think it changes the banking dynamic. I mean, I've got some clients that hold, you know, a few $100,000 in banks, and I don't think you'll have that. Mm-hmm. And it may be that the banks, you know, figure out a different way to be able to handle that. But I don't think we'll see that kind of environment if that's the case. I just don't think it'll make sense. I mean, right now we've got enough grumbling and people. I just had a client in yesterday and they had secured a CD for 0.6%, so a little over 0.5%, and they were decently happy with that for some reason. But you know, I think that it'll just be a different environment, and it'll change what people put in banks.
Yeah,
you right now. You're saying, hey, why would I put money in the bank if it's going to be negative interest rate? I think that's just people are already saying that here in the United States, and it's because the interest rates are so low. So it's like, why would I do that? Yeah. I'm not going to do that. I'll pay my house off before I do that. I'll invest and I'll pay the house off before I actually put money in the bank.
What are other types of reasons to secure your money for later? Like we talked about investing, stock and crypto wise, but we talked also about saving. Are there any other ways to use money as into your retirement for later? Maybe by already, for example, buying off your house so you don't have to pay mortgage on it anymore. Some kind of more creative ways, I guess. Maybe you can come up with a few.
There are ways. It's not things that I'm expert in. But by the way, I'll say paying off the house could be a way. You know, we run the numbers on that quite a bit for clients as to whether or not they pay off their house or not. I think that's a little bit emotional more than it is financial sense. You know, a lot of people just want to know that they don't have that bill there. And there are very good numbers as to why to pay off your mortgage. But it's a very individualized answer or, you know, question that we have to work through. The other part of the question when so sometimes people, if they're up for it, they like to buy property and then rent it out. Mm-hmm. And that can be good. You just have to deal with the stress of knowing that you've got a renter in your house. There's quite a few people that are buying properties and doing Airbnb with it. That's obviously suffered drastically through pandemic time. So if we get through a pandemic and people want to go back and look at that, that's obviously a way to do it. But I would say property is an alternative. Now you can do that by actually buying your own property. or you can actually invest in groups of people that are investing in property. And all you do is you don't have to look after the property. You just get the return. And obviously it's going to dip into some of the return, but you don't have to deal with the property. So I would say that's one avenue. And then obviously the other one is, you know, you have a business that returns you some money that you don't have to work in it as much.
That's actually true, yeah. Or if you have a good business and you might want to sell it, that also happens, I guess, people selling their business. Or, I mean, it's also a, you know, like another secondary income stream, I guess, if yep. you, yeah, if you're still.
And another thing that people do is they go, hey, if I retire here, wherever here is, United States, Netherlands, whatever, Europe, and they go, hey, I could move to another country and live like a king on a much smaller amount of money, and I don't have to save as much. I mean, I got this money here that I live, you know, very tight. I move over here, and all of a sudden, that money has a lot more value. And so we see that quite a bit of people moving to other places in the world.
Here it's very common that people, also a lot of the British do it, they move to Spain. So many people, they just move to Spain, buy a nice villa with a lot of land, and they just live their old days like exactly like they're kings and queens almost. Yeah. Hey, I think I have really learned a lot from you about all this pension and retirement and planning. And also, I think this is also why I think it's such a valid episode for all of the listeners, is because most of us are young and we don't think of it. And just maybe this is a wake-up call for you guys, that what Raiden said in the beginning, just save already just start with it and start building up your account. I would like to end with a question that I actually should have started with, but I completely forgot about it. It's actually the question that I'm planning to from now on open the podcast with, which is, what does freelancing mean to you? Because you're also, and let's say you are your own business owner, so you're in a way you're a freelancer, what you said before. Very broad question, you can answer however you want to.
I mean, ultimately, I think it means you get to choose. It's your choice. You get to figure out how you want to work, when you want to work, how hard you want to work. And that can be a positive for many people, and that can be a negative, being able to pick all those things. I personally have always liked it. I've always liked being able to work as hard as I want to work and get the benefit for that hard work versus working for somebody else. And I work hard and I get paid, but I probably don't get paid what I am relative to my work output. And that's what it means to me. I want to be able to work as hard as I want to work and get paid for it if I want to do that. And if I want to take off, I want to be able to take off.
That's nice. That's a really, I think that's a great way also to end this podcast. What you said, I think, yeah, well, thank you for your answer. It was a really nice answer. I ask this question now to everybody who I interview, and everybody comes up with a different thing, which is, I find really interesting, that what actually freelancing does mean to everybody. I would like to thank you very much for having this talk, this discussion, this, for me, almost masterclass on pensions and retirement. Well, thank you very much, Raiden, for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
And to all of you, I will be back next week with a new interview, with a new podcast, with a new guest at the same time. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you do save, even though it's $1 or 1 euro or whatever it is, the currency. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you guys later. Ciao, ciao.